Praise the Lord. If you turn your Bibles to Psalm 119, if you know the length of that, you'll be relieved to know we're only going to look at one verse tonight. I gave a challenge some years ago that if anyone would memorize Psalm 119, I'd take him to dinner. Amen. That offer still stands. If you have your Bible, why don't you go ahead and stand and don't move too far afield, but shake three or four people's hands tonight and just tell them you're so glad to see them in the house of the Lord. Okay. Man, everybody looks better with all smiles on your face. Amen. Let's turn our attention to the reading of a verse out of Psalm 119. And in some way or the other, every verse of this long psalm exalts the Word of God. And so we're going to look at just one of those descriptions and admirations of the Word of God tonight. The psalmist said, and many of you could quote this, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Since this is in first person, why don't you read this with me tonight? Could you? "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." I want to entitle this tonight, I've debated several things, but I want to entitle this tonight, "Winning with the Word." Winning with the Word. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee," thee being God. God bless you. You can be seated. I had a chat with a distraught father, and because this is about a young person, young people, if you could listen to this illustration particularly, I think it will be a help to you. But this distraught father was very upset. He had raised his son in church all his life. In fact, raised him in ministry all his life. But when his son got old enough to make his own decisions, he walked away from serving God, and now he's living in a situation that's sin. And the dad was distraught, and he was sharing with me, and he said something so revealing. He said, "You know, the way I look at it, when I look at my son and his life, I believe he walked away from God because he never had a love for God's word." And then he went on. He said, "I've seen my son many times moved emotionally in a worship service, camp, church." He said, "I've seen him move emotionally in a worship service, but he never had a love for the word of God." I want to tell you something else. There's a little bit difference between a love for good preaching and a love for the Word. Good preaching ought to have the Word in it, but there's been good preaching that had very little Word in it. And I thought that was so revealing. The young man walked away from God because he never had a love for the Word, the truth of God. You know, Paul picks this up when speaking of the end times, and he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, "In the last times, people will be deceived and they will perish." And he gives the reason. Why are they deceived? Why are they part of the falling away? Because they received not the love of the truth, or we could put in here, they received not the love of the word that they might be saved. You know, taking our psalm tonight, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee," it's really easy to see that people fail in temptation. People fall apart in trial. People do wrong when the word isn't a part of them. You can start out as a Christian. You can profess Christianity. You can weep. You can cry. You can be moved by the songs. But ultimately, you will fail in a Christian life, you will fail in a converted life if you don't have the Word of God that's a part of your thinking, a part of your feeling, a part of your very nature. Jesus said this, John 8, I know that you are Abraham's seed. Listen to what he says. But you seek to kill me. Why? Why would they do something so awful? Because my word hath no place in you. In other words, Jesus said, I can tell you why you're doing wrong. You're supposed to be the people of God. You're Jews. But I tell you why you're doing wrong. It's because my word isn't in you. How many would agree already tonight that it's a very important thing that the word of God is in us? It's in us. Now, I'm going to make a statement. This sounds very brash. But did you know all the Word of God in the Bible cannot keep you from sin? Think about that. All the Word of God in the Bible can't keep you from temptation. All the Word in the Bible can't give you victory. All the Word in the Bible can't give you an overcoming. Now, it sounds like not a true statement, but it's true. What gives you the victory, what keeps you from sin, is when the Word of God that's in the Bible gets in your heart. That's when you have victory. That's when you overcome. That's when you're kept from sin. When the Word of God that's in the book becomes a part of your mind and your heart. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Without the Word hidden in my heart, I will sin. I want to ask a question tonight and answer it. How do we hide the Word of God in our hearts that we might not sin against God? How do we do that? How do you and I hide the Word of God in our hearts and not sin? How do we make the Word of God a part of us? First of all, we value the Word. We value the Word. We love the Word. Let me tell you. You know who's going to get some Word out of this message tonight? I'll tell you who's going to get some word out of this message tonight. Those that love the word. Those are the ones. Let's go back to the scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Now, you see, we read the word of God so quickly sometimes that we don't think about it. But when we see the word hid, you know, we think of covering up. You know, just getting something out of sight. That's not the word here. The word here has the idea of hoarding up treasure. So there's this idea of treasure or value in the word hide. You're putting something that you value in a secure place. That's the word the psalmist used when he said, thy word have I hid in my heart. He's saying it's like taking a gem or a jewel or a pearl or gold that you really value. And you don't just leave it out for everybody to see and take. But you get it because you value it. You get a hold of it and you put it in a secure place. And the secure place is your heart and your mind. You know, illustrations get antiquated in a hurry. And I suppose that all TV guides are digital today in some form. But they used to tell the story about the pastor visiting the home. And when he got in the home and he sat down in the chair and the mom and dad, the man and the woman of the house, husband and wife, they were sitting there on the couch and they were beginning the small talk. And then mom and dad wanted to impress the pastor. And so they turned to the little kid, whatever his name was, let's call him Johnny. And they said, Johnny, go get the book that mom and dad love so much. And Johnny left the room. In a few seconds, he came back carrying the TV guide. Do we value the Word of God? That's the only way it'll become a part of our heart and our thinking is when we value it. And make no mistake, I speak to all of us, but if we do not read the Bible, if we do not study the Bible, if we do not listen to it when it's preached, if we do not try to take something from it when it's taught, we do not love it. Would you agree with me? Oh, I love the Bible. Oh, I love the Bible. And it's never read unless it's read from the pulpit. It's never read in the home. It's never read in a private time. I think we need to value. How do we hide it in our heart? We value it. We love it. You can always tell. I know we're human. We have lapses and all of that. And, you know, I about fell to sleep during the preaching, and I was the one preaching. And you know, I understand these lapses, you know. You know, boring preaching's awful. But it's worse when you're the one doing it, you know. But let me tell you something. You can tell who loves the Word of God in a congregation. Do you know that? Because there's something, there's a response when the Word of God is given. Now listen, none of this makes any sense. None of this is important tonight unless you want to serve God. You want to make it to heaven. You want to do what's right. Because it's His Word in our heart that keeps us from sin. It's His Word in our heart that causes us to win in temptation. And when God's Word is preached, you know, I've used the illustration of tuning forks before, but if I had a tuning fork to the key of A, Sister Norma, and I sounded it off, that A string on that piano would start ringing, and that A string on that guitar would start going because it's in tune with that tuning fork. You know how I can tell people love the Word of God? Because when the Word of God is preached, if the Word of God is something they love and it's a part of it, you see the tuning fork setting it off. Their eyes light up. There's an interest there. There's a hunger there. There's a thirst there. I want us to think of something very, this is a very personal statement, but I want us to think about it. You and I should become really alarmed when we find ourselves letting go of scriptures that we used to treasure. Scriptures that we used to stand on and mean that meant something to us, when we find ourselves letting go of that. Why? Because we've lost that sense of value. Amen. This is a valuable thing. You don't hide it in your heart unless you treasure it. You only put things in a secure place that you place value on. Secondly, how do we hide the Word of God in our hearts? We believe it is His Word. We believe it is His Word. This isn't just good literature. This isn't just the wisdom of the greatest minds through the ages. This is the Word of God. Nobody's going to make it without the Word of God. Let's go back to our scripture. Look what he says here. Thy Word. Not the word of some wise men. Not the word of great teachers. Not the word of great prophets, but Thy Word have I hid in my heart. Even we hide in our hearts by recognizing it is His Word. In our day that has attacked everything sacred, everything holy, everything spiritually, I want to reaffirm tonight, though you may have heard it 1,000 times, the Word of God is inspired by God. Holy men of old wrote as God breathed and moved them by the Holy Spirit. God's Word is inspired of God. Thy Word, it's what God said. It's what God thinks. It comes from the mind of God. It comes from the heart of God. It comes from the nature of God. It's Thy Word. And what is the Word of God? Let me tell you what the Word of God is. What did God speak? He spoke what we needed to hear. Think about that. What is God's Word? He spoke what we needed to hear. He spoke what we needed to make it to heaven. He spoke what we needed to come through the trial. He spoke what we needed to overcome temptation. God's Word is truth. It's truth. It's real. I'm trying real hard not to get on a rabbit trail here. Because from television commentators to college instructors, all across our land to the man on the street, everything is so relative today. It's a modernism that says, I choose what I want to be true. It's not based on anything objective. It's just if I want this to be true, it's true. If I want to believe that to be true, it's true. I want to tell you what truth is. Truth is what corresponds to reality. Somebody can come running in here and say, it's 0 degrees outside and snowing. Is that the truth? Walk outside. You'll find out in a hurry. Does it correspond to reality? It doesn't. But I'm telling you, God's Word is truth. It corresponds with reality. It says the heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. That's reality. It says that man cannot save himself. That's reality. Man's tried and tried and tried. He can't do it. It says that Jesus is the only way. That's reality. God's word. Some people say, well, I saw this somewhere recently, but they said, well, I sure wish life came with instructions. You ever heard that? How many's ever heard that? I wish life came with instructions. It does. It does. It does. Why? Because God told us what we needed to hear. So how do I hide his word in my heart? We value the word of God. We believe it's his word. And then I'm going to become more practical as we come to a close here. But we select a word from the word. I mean, there's a lot of word here. How do you keep all of that in your mind and heart at one time? You can't. You have to select a word from the word. You know, the point is, we cannot just leave the word on the pages of the Bible. And neither can we take everything that's there and put it in our minds and heart. We can try. So we need to find the word that we need. We need to find the word in here that speaks to us and select it from the Bible. Select it from the message. I'm going to make that practical in a moment, but let's go back to the verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Now, if I hide something, the first thing I've got to do if I hide something is I got to get a hold of it. I got to take a hold of it. If I'm going to hide the word of God in my heart, the first thing I have to do is take a hold of the word. Get a grip on it. And what do I get a grip on? I get a grip on something. Now, if I hide something, I hide it for because that thing appealed to me. It's valuable to me, as I've already mentioned, or it's beautiful to me. And that's the reason I would take hold or select a word from the word, is because it means something to me. God has spoken to me through that. The Spirit has quickened it to my heart. So how do we select a word? We take a hold of it. We take a hold of it. I want to ask you something. All over the building, but I love having the young people up here, right here listening. It's so great. So let me tell you this. You know, as we grow through life, we begin to form ideas and opinions, even about spiritual things. Well, here's what I think. Here's what I believe. Let me ask you something. Where do your beliefs come from? Do you just form them in your own mind? Or do your beliefs come because you went and you took hold of a word and put it in there? Where should our beliefs come from? Just our own opinions or thoughts or preferences? No, what I believe, when I open my mouth and say, well, I believe, I ought to be able immediately to go to the book and say, here's why I believe it. I've taken that, I've taken hold of it, and I've put it in my mind, I've put it in my heart. Think about it. Let me ask you this. Most people that have true treasures, they do take and hide them, put them in a secure place, but there are times they will always take them out because they value them, and they'll look at them and look at them and count it and hold it up to the light. I'm telling you, if it's a word of God that we've taken hold of, we treasure it. It won't be something we just put in there at a youth camp in 1975. It'll be something that we bring out and look at it and think about it. How do we hide his word in our heart? We value it. We believe it's his word. We select a word from the word. And then, though I've already began to mention this, thirdly or fourthly, wherever I'm at, we make it a part of us. Look back at the verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart. It's not outside of me. It's not just in a book. It's not in just somebody else's mind. It's not just something I've got to look up in my notes from youth camp. But it's a part of me. It's in my heart. It's my way of thinking. To hide means to put it in a secure place. Now, here's where I want to get practical. I have many people come to me with this, both in Bible school and here at the church, over and over. I hear people, and they do a great thing. They read the Bible. I think we ought to read the Bible. But they say, you know, Pastor, I read the Bible every day, but I close the book, and I don't remember anything the rest of the day. Read it on cruise control. How many be real honest? We can have a great altar service tonight. Say, many times, that's me. I read my chapter, two chapters, three chapters. I close the book, and the rest, I don't remember a thing that I read. Doesn't it feel good to be honest? Just raise the other hand. It's me. It's human nature. It's the way it is. Especially if you've been through the book several times. Sister Norvell's already pulling it out. We know the story. We can read about David and Goliath. It's on automatic. So the practical advice I like to give is say, listen, make it a point every day when you read to look for something that particularly speaks to you that you can take from there. And when something speaks to you, you stop right there. It might be a phrase. It might be a verse, a couple of verses. You stop right there. If you're a Bible highlighter, highlight it. If you underline it, underline it. If you write it on an index card, write it on an index card. If you want to take a picture of it with your iPhone, take a picture of your iPhone. And then just pause. If you don't read any further that day, that's fine. Just pause right there and read it and think about it. And read it and think about it. And then as you go through the day, ask yourself several times. Now, what was that verse? What spoke to me through that passage this morning? What was it that God said to me this morning? This is a very practical thing. Learn to make this practical. Thy word, if I hid in my heart, I see something I value, I take a hold of it, but then I put it in a secure place. Just to read and close your book and never mark it, never think about it, you've not put it in a secure place. How do I know? Because it's gone. Right? If it's gone 3 minutes after you read it, you didn't put it in a secure place. That makes sense? You know, you get really in trouble when you give illustrations about women, but I'll make a very profound statement. We're studying this in our Sunday school class, but women are different from men. Isn't that profound? A lot of people don't realize that today. That's why we got the trouble we got. But I don't understand a lot of things about women. I've been married to one for 30 years. And especially when it comes to shopping, I've got a whole series on women shoppers. I'm just not brave enough to preach it. Here's this huge, first of all, I can't digress too far, I got to hurry. But first of all, I don't understand how I can go through a whole, whatever it is, 4,000 square feet department store and look on every aisle at everything and get done in 5 minutes. And my wife hasn't even made it down one aisle in 30 minutes. I don't understand that. And another thing I don't understand is how they can pick something up. I'm going to have songbooks everywhere. And they can look at it. Feel it, stretch it, rub it, smell of it, taste it. And either they'll put it back on the shelf or they'll put it in the cart and go all around the store and 3 hours later they'll come back and put it back on the shelf. How many knows I'm telling the truth? Do you know a lot of people do the Word of God that way? They'll read it, they'll look at it, they'll go through it. But just like a woman leaves the store without anything, they leave the Word of God without anything. Buy it. You say, that's not scripture. Yes, it is. Buy the truth and sell it not. If you find something, don't just look at it, handle it. Take it with you. Take it in your mind. Take it in your... Now, be careful. When I'm talking about getting a hold of a truth, selecting it, hide it in your heart, I'm not talking about pick and choosing. Ooh, that's what I want to do. I like that verse. You know, oh, I don't like that verse. I'll turn the page in a hurry. I'm not talking about pick and choosing. I'm talking about getting a hold of what God is saying to you and making it a part of your heart. Treasure it. Hide it before it's gone. You know, in Bible school, both as a student and as a teacher, you know, students had to memorize scriptures. You know, some folks can do this. They got the mind to do it, especially when they're young. They might have 10 scriptures. Let's just take three verses to memorize, and they wait till the period, the free time before the class, and then they get the Bible out, and they go in there to take the quiz, and quick, let's take the quiz, quick, it's already leaving, quick, let's take the, and they'll sit down there, right, and they'll get 100%. And if you ask them at lunchtime to quote those verses, they couldn't. They never hid it in their hearts. But I want to tell you something. You will never forget a verse you made a part of you. Let me give you one example. Years and years ago, as a young man, I was really struggling with whatever Christian struggles with, though they may not admit, I was really struggling whether God loved me or not. And I was praying, I was going through the Bible, And I ended up in 1 John 3:16, not John 3:16, 1 John 3:16, which says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." And it hit me. If I wanted proof that God loved me, all I had to do is look at the cross. I'll never forget that verse. God spoke it to me, and I hid it in my heart. I made it a part of my thinking. And so let's end with this. If we hide his word in our hearts, then we can use the word to overcome in trials and temptation just like Jesus did. That leads me to the other practical thing I wanted to share with you. The first was, take something from the word. Why? So you can use it as Jesus did. Another thing, I've had people come to me many, many times, discouraged, depressed, trial, temptation. How am I going to make it? And I've told them, especially lately, use the word. That's what Jesus did. Use the word. That's what Jesus. Remember, 40 days in the wilderness, Satan came to him, said, "Turn these stones into bread." Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Took him up to a high mountain, showed him the kingdoms of the earth, and said, "Fall down and worship me," Satan said to Jesus, "and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth." And Jesus said, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord God, and him only shall you serve." Took him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, "Cast yourself down, make a great show. Let the angels bear you up." Even Satan quoted a little bit of scripture, but out of context. Jesus says, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So how do we win with the word? Because if we hide it in our hearts, when Satan comes, when trials come, when temptation comes, we can use the word. Let me tell you a little bit how that works. Let's say you feel overwhelmed with the attack of Satan. If you've hit it in your heart, and I don't always remember the reference, but I remember the word. But if you hit it in your heart, you can say, well, in 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world." And in James, it says, "Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you." Maybe you're feeling like you simply cannot do the thing that is before you. Word of God, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Maybe you feel like God doesn't care about what's going on. 1 Peter chapter 5, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Maybe you feel lonely. "I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you to the end of the age." Maybe you don't think you can come through the temptation. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Use the word. You can win with the word. Amen. And it begins by hiding it in your heart. Praise God. Would you come to the music? I want to say one more thing about this. The reason it works is because it's truth. 2 times 2 is 4. That's the truth. Some people will try to really pull something over folks' eyes, and they build a case, and they come against people. But when the truth comes out, as soon as people recognize the truth, all the arguments are gone. All the attacks are gone. Because truth's a powerful thing. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's why when people come for counseling, I almost always begin and say, "Look, I believe this scripture. The truth shall set you free. Half-truth and lies and deception will keep you bound. But the truth will make you free." And let me ask you something that's in the psalm. Are you speaking the truth in your heart? You know, sometimes we want to speak the truth to Satan, but are we speaking the truth to our own self? Truth will give victory. Truth will set free. I want to tell you, Satan always works in lies and half-truths. He always does. If you feel yourself being bound, defeated, you're listening to lies and half-truths. But Satan cannot stand the truth. He cannot stand the truth. How do we stand? How do we win? How do we overcome? The truth. The truth. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, let me tell you how you can leave here with assurance in your heart of eternity. The truth right here says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus came to take our place, died on a cross for our sin, and whosoever calls upon his name and believes in him shall be saved. That's the truth. Those of you that know Sister Chrisman will verify this. You don't talk to her very long. She'll say something real close to this. I love the Word. I know she does. I mean, for a lot of reasons. But back to the one I gave you earlier, I watch her when I preach. And when the Word of God's going forth, there it is. A few days back, I was there visiting, and we were talking, and Sister Karen said, now, Mom, tell Pastor Hurst what it was that spoke to you out of the Psalms this morning when we read. You go there, there's the Bible and commentaries and stuff. She digs in to the Word of God. She'd be a nice person, no doubt, even without Christ in the Word. But I'll tell you why she's such a woman of God that we all admire. She's taken the Word and she's hid it in her heart. Amen. I love the truth, she says. That's what will make every one of you young people be saved in the end. You're not dumb. You can look around. You can see. Think of those that have left serving God, quit serving God. They were deceived. I mean, up to the time they left, they'd look at you and say, I'm okay. Everything's right. But I'll tell you why they're not here. They didn't love the truth. And I'm going to make a bold statement, and I don't ever pit as against other churches, but I want to tell you, I'm not sure all churches love the truth either. Amen? But the truth will be the saving of our souls. Could you say with me one more time, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. How many's ready to take a hold of some Word, make it a part of you, put it in your heart, and then when Satan comes, thus saith the Word, it is written. Satan, you say, but God says. How many believes we can win with the Word? I can think about Sister Chrisman. Let me share this and I'll quit. When Sister Norvell was testifying, she reminded me of my pastor's wife. I've spoken much of her when I was a kid, Sister Buford. She lived almost 100, 98, 99, up there. But after they retired, and she was way up in years, lower 80s, upper 80s, even lower 90s, we'd go out and visit her out there on the farm sometime. And for years, I mean, even when she was still pastoring, her eyesight got so bad, she'd hold that Bible about this big. She'd hold it up like this as she read it. But when we went out and visited her, we wouldn't be visiting long, and she would say, here's what it was, Sadora. She said, I was reading today, and I've read that 100 times, but I've never saw that before. I want to share it with you. Value. Hide it. Take hold. Put it. Make it a part of you. And then when Satan comes, bring it out and use it against him. We'll just stand. When we were gone, I thought, this is a wonderful blessing that we're all able to see the Word of God here, but it might have made a mistake. It just hit me. We're seeing fewer and fewer Bibles people bring to the house of God. Amen. If you brought your Bible, you might have to look it up on the phone. Don't go to Facebook. Go to your Bible. But I wonder how many would bring your Bible with you to the altar tonight. Maybe after you've prayed a bit, just open it up. Maybe it's a favorite place. Say, God, I'm going to start this tonight. I'm going to start it tonight. I'm not going to leave the altar till something has spoken to me from your Word, and then I'm going to make it a part of me. And when I leave and I'm going home, I'm still going to be thinking about it. And the rest of the week, I'm going to have it. And then when Satan comes against me, I'm going to take it out and use it against him. Would everybody come, find a place to pray, get the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hallelujah. Oh, I love thy Word. I love thy precepts. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Righteous altogether. Thank you, Lord. Make it a part of you. Amen. Take something with you tonight. Take something from the Word. I'm telling you, you can be an overcomer if His Word is in your heart. Is His Word in your heart? Hold of something. Put it in your heart. Put it in your mind. Take it with you. It is written. God said. The Bible says.
In me you're free.
Satan, I'm not listening to you. I'm not taking your lies. Because the Bible says.
Yeah.